Music Doodoo Classical Bedtime presents Clara Schumann and the Piano in the Dark. How many words did you say today? 10? 100? Maybe 1,000 if you're someone who really likes to chat. The girl in our story tonight didn't say a single word for 5 whole years. Everyone thought little Clara was silent. But her ears were wide open, drinking in the secrets of the piano like a sponge soaking up water. While other children babbled and shouted and cried for attention, Clara sat perfectly still in her father's music studio, watching students' fingers dance across the keys. She wasn't quiet because something was wrong. She was quiet because she was learning. And when she finally did speak, it wasn't with words at all. Clara Wieck was born in the city of Leipzig, Germany, in 1819, over 200 years ago. Her father, Friedrich Wieck, was one of the most demanding piano teachers in all of Europe. Important musicians travelled for weeks just to have Herr Wieck listen to them play. And he was strict. Not just regular strict. He was the kind of strict that makes your spine straighten just thinking about it. But here's the thing. Herr Wieck looked at his silent little daughter and saw something nobody else could see. He believed Clara could become the greatest pianist the world had ever known, even though she hadn't spoken her first word yet. So while other children were learning to say mamma and papa, Clara was learning something else entirely, something that would change music forever. Her father didn't just want Clara to play the piano. He wanted her to become a musical athlete. Imagine practicing your scales in a room so dark you couldn't see your own nose. That's what Clara did. Night after night, her father would blow out every candle, close every curtain, until the practice room was black as ink. He wanted her fingers to have eyes of their own, to find the right keys without ever looking down. He made her play while she walked, her fingers dancing across the keys while her feet marched a steady beat around the room. Up the scales, down the scales, her whole body becoming part of the music. By the time she was 9 years old, the piano wasn't just a piece of furniture in Clara's life. It was like a third hand attached to her body. She could feel where every single key lived, even in complete darkness. Can you hear how that music breathes and sighs, like someone singing without any words? That's exactly what Clara learned to do. She learned to make the piano speak. Now, before we hear more of Clara's music, I want to tell you about something magical called chamber music. Do you know what that is? Imagine 3 very best friends having a conversation. One plays the piano. One plays the violin, one plays the cello. They're not a huge orchestra, just 3 voices, close together, sharing secrets. In chamber music, the instruments take turns, like polite friends at dinner. The violin might start a sentence, and the piano finishes it. The cello might ask a question, and the violin answers. Sometimes they all talk at once, but in the most beautiful way. Clara wrote some of the most wonderful chamber music in history. A piece called a trio, for piano, violin, and cello. When you hear it, listen for the conversation. Can you tell which instrument is speaking? When Clara was just 9 years old, her father decided she was ready. Ready to perform in front of hundreds of strangers. The concert hall in Leipzig was enormous. crystal chandeliers sparkled overhead like frozen waterfalls. Ladies in rustling silk dresses fanned themselves. Important men with tall hats leaned forward and whispered, "Is it true? A child is going to play?" And out walked little Clara, 9 years old, barely tall enough to reach the pedals. She climbed onto the piano bench, arranged her small hands over the keys, took one deep breath, and the room went completely silent. Listen now. Can you hear how the piano leads the conversation, with the violin and cello answering back? Did you hear it? The way the piano started a musical thought, and then the violin came sweeping in with its own answer, and the cello humming underneath, keeping everyone together. That music you just heard, Clara composed it. She wrote concertos for full orchestras and trios for small groups of friends. By the time she was 14, she was creating music that would be performed for 200 years. Her fame didn't just spread across Europe, it thundered across the borders. She performed in Paris, where poets and painters stayed up all night discussing her genius. She played in Vienna, where the great composer Chopin himself sat in the audience, shaking his head in amazement. She even performed for kings and queens. But here's what really made audiences gasp. When Clara walked onto the stage, there was no sheet music on the piano. Nothing. Just the shiny black wood and the white and black keys waiting. The audience couldn't believe it. They thought it was a trick. How could anyone remember hours and hours of complicated music, every single note in the right place? Their eyes kept darting to the piano, searching for hidden papers. But Clara didn't need paper. All those years of practicing in the dark had trained her mind to hold the music inside, like a treasure chest locked in her heart. She was one of the very first pianists in history to perform entire concerts from memory. Today, all concert pianists do this, but back then, it seemed like pure magic. The music didn't live on a page for Clara. It lived in her fingers, in her breath, in the darkness behind her closed eyes. That fiery music is called con fuoco, which means with fire in Italian. Doesn't it sound like someone whose fingers are practically blazing across the keys? Now here's where our story takes an unexpected turn. When Clara was 9 years old, a young man came to study piano with her father. His name was Robert Schumann. He was 18, almost twice Clara's age. Robert wasn't the best piano student, to be honest. His fingers wouldn't cooperate. But his head was full of music. Wild, dreamy, romantic music that poured out of him like water from a fountain. As the years passed, Clara and Robert became friends. They talked about music for hours. They laughed at the same jokes. And somewhere along the way, something changed. Thank you. Clara and Robert fell in love. By the time Clara was 15, she knew she wanted to marry Robert, and Robert felt the same way. He wrote her letters filled with poetry and musical notes. He composed pieces just for her, pieces that sounded like her laughter, her seriousness, her quiet strength. But Clara's father was furious. He had spent Clara's entire childhood turning her into a star. He didn't want her to marry some penniless composer who couldn't even play piano properly. "You will never marry him," Herr Wieck shouted, his face red with anger. "I forbid it." But Clara wasn't a quiet little girl anymore. She was a woman who had performed for emperors. She had played in the dark. She had memorized symphonies. She knew her own heart. Picture a cold, echoing courtroom. Stone walls, hard wooden benches, judges in heavy black robes staring down from high seats. Clara and Robert had to go to court to get permission to marry, like a trial. Clara's father stood on one side, pointing his finger, shouting that she was making the worst mistake of her life. It was the hardest performance Clara ever gave. She wasn't playing a piano this time. She was fighting for her heart. And when the judge finally looked at her and looked at Robert and said, "Yes, you may marry," it was the most beautiful note Clara had ever heard. In 1840, Clara Wieck became Clara Schumann. Her father refused to speak to her for years. But Clara didn't look back. She had a new life to build, with music at its centre. Clara and Robert's house was never quiet. Piano music floated from every room, and children, so many children. Clara and Robert had 8 babies, 7 of whom grew up strong and healthy. Can you imagine 8 children? And Clara still toured across Europe giving concerts. She still composed her own music. She still practiced for hours every day. Now, I want to tell you about something special Clara wrote for Robert. It's called Variations on a Theme. Do you know what a musical variation is? It's like playing dress-up with a melody. You take a tune you love, maybe something Robert hummed to Clara in their kitchen, and you put it in different costumes. First, the melody wears a heavy, slow winter coat, trudging through snow. Then it puts on sparkly dancing shoes and leaps around the room. Then maybe it wraps itself in a mysterious dark cloak and creeps through shadows. But underneath all those costumes, it's still the same melody, still recognizable, still the song you fell in love with. Listen to this music Clara wrote about Robert's melody. Can you hear how it keeps changing? The same tune, but dressed in different feelings. When Clara composed these variations, she was saying something without words. "Robert, your music is part of me now. I carry it everywhere I go, and I can make it dance in 100 different ways." Listen for the costume changes. There! Did you hear it get faster? And there! Now it's slowing down, becoming thoughtful and dreamy. But then, something terrible happened. Robert became very ill. Not in his body, in his mind. He heard sounds that weren't there. He forgot things he should have remembered. He had to go to a hospital, and he never came home again. Clara was left alone. 7 children who needed food and clothes and school books, no husband to help, no father willing to speak to her. Just her piano and her 10 fingers and her extraordinary, unbreakable will. Do you know what Clara did? She didn't give up. She didn't stop. She dried her tears, packed her travelling trunk, and went back on the road. She played more concerts than ever before, because her children's futures depended on every single note. Her piano became her family's lifeline, and Clara became a hero. Clara Schumann performed concerts for another 40 years after Robert died. 40 years! She travelled by train and carriage across mountains and rivers, through rain and snow, to distant cities where people gathered just to hear her play. She gave over 1,300 concerts in her lifetime. 1,300! Her fingers kept moving across the keys until her hair turned white, until her grandchildren were old enough to sit in the audience and watch. And everywhere she went, she carried Robert's music with her. At every concert, she played his pieces alongside her own. "Listen," she told the world. "Listen to what my husband created. Don't forget him. Don't forget his beautiful mind." Clara made sure Robert Schumann's music would live forever. And in doing so, she made sure her music would too. Clara taught piano students until she was 73 years old, and she had a special message for every single one of them. "The notes on the page are just the beginning," she would say, leaning close. "You have to bring them to life. Play from your heart." The little girl, who didn't speak until she was 5, spent the rest of her life letting music speak for her. The child who practiced in the dark became a woman who brought light to concert halls across the world. Her piano travelled 100,000 miles, from stage to stage, city to city. And everywhere it went, people gathered and listened and felt something they couldn't quite name. Something like hope. Something like courage. Something like a voice finally being heard. Clara Schumann died in 1896 at 76 years old, surrounded by her children and grandchildren. Do you know what her last request was? She asked to hear Robert's music one more time. Today, musicians all over the world still perform Clara's compositions. her trios, her variations, her songs. They fill concert halls, astonishing audiences, just like Clara did 2 centuries ago. So the next time something feels too hard, remember the quiet little girl who practiced in the dark. Remember how she found her voice through the piano. Remember how she raised 7 children, crossed a continent countless times, and never, not once, gave up. Clara Schumann proved that the things we love most, we carry inside us, in our hearts, in our memories, in the darkness where no one else can see. Close your eyes now and listen. Thank you.